listening to Live from the Path. We're coming from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston Proper. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking something terrible must have happened to the show. And that's why we haven't had a show for so many weeks. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Nothing terrible can happen. It's not possible.
I think it happened a long time ago.
Yeah, like it's
years.
Right. We set the bar low. You could be like, oh, well, they lost all their sponsors. We didn't have any sponsors.
Yeah.
And there's contract negotiations for more money around here. Nobody makes any money around here. And you say, well, the authorities have finally come for them because of malcreant behavior on the airs. But we're on the internet and there are no restrictions. You can do whatever you want. And so... Yeah. Besides the fact that we do, could owe some back copyright for prior usage, like 10 years ago, we used some stuff off the net where it was nebulous as to whether you could just put tunes on your show.
That was back in the day when the file sharing was really at its peak.
Yeah.
And you could just, like, download stuff.
So like, that could come back. But other than that, I'd like, we're here to stay. So, anyway, congratulations to you. Here's what I got going on the program tonight. First of all, Donald McCormick is in the studio. Donald, say hello.
Hey.
Okay, good. Mike, what's Donald doing in here?
Who let him in?
Tell us. Ask myself the same question.
Tell us about Donald.
Donald's he's a good friend of mine. He lives in the same town I do, and we talk about Jesus stuff, and he's a musician, and he's a pretty talented actor, and so he was available. He's actually the son of Cody McCormick, who was in here a couple 3 weeks ago. And so he came up to me about, 3 weeks ago and said, hey, I'm going to come on a show and I'm going to tell you what you're going to name the episode. Pretty much like gave himself executive producer credit and then insisted on sailing in. And so here he is.
Okay. The talented Mr. McCormick, the Deuce is here. And so he'll be just hanging out.
He also ties a mean Merovingian knot for ties.
No kidding.
He knows a Windsor, a half Windsor, a Merovingian. Wow. You know any other ties, Donald?
There's Tulip. Trinity, King James. Here's a couple of them.
Explain the King James to me.
So King James is like it's four layers going down. It's like circles basically. But it's like here, 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 getting smaller the whole time, and then it's a tie.
Is it hard to tie?
No, not really. It's pretty easy. I watched like one YouTube tutorial.
And then you're in.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I was in Boy Scouts for like years and never learned any of them. We'd sit there and practice them, and I'm like, I don't care. I can make this little granny knot. It's worked well for me for decades. I just want to know. I want you to know.
I'm going to tell you a secret. When I need my tie tied, I just have Donald do it and then loosen it up and give it to me, and then I just hang it on a hanger until I need it.
That's a great idea.
And so, I've done that for him twice.
Okay. All right. Dan, where did you learn to tie a tie?
It might have been in college when we had to wear ties. And I had to learn. I don't know. There must have been someone on the dorm floor.
There wasn't YouTube.
No,
you asked like an old man with a tie.
Webs back then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You busted out the stone tablet.
I'm trying to think. Maybe it could have been Boy Scouts. Like, I thought you were talking about knots. Like.
No, yeah, he was talking. The King James is a boat, like a tie.
Yeah, I kind of got that. It switched, but I still had to say what I had to say because
I do want to see a picture of this. Find this thing.
I just say things.
I think I'm thinking of the right one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
But it had to be in college. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I YouTubed it. And then when it went foul, I just said,
am I thinking of the right one?
I don't know. We're going to have to look it up now.
I figured if it's a tie, like a gentleman's tie, it probably should say 1611 or something on it.
Well, yeah. How to tie? Oh, Prince Albert.
Oh, Prince Albert?
Prince Albert.
See,
it's not as cool as the King James.
The one in the royal family. Cooler.
The one in the can, not the one in the Bible.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. I got it. The king's knot. Yes. All right. Yeah, there's a video.
Am I right? Is it the four? Is it the four? Or is
No one's showing like a picture that makes it clear to see what this thing is.
Okay. It looks like Pierce Brosnan uses it.
Yeah.
Or the guy from Dragnet.
I can't quite tell. All right. We're going to check it out. We'll get it posted up maybe on the old Facebook once we get a good look at it.
All right.
All right.
Here's what I got going on the show this evening. So there's a list going around of... like 17 things that people believe about Christianity because they've heard it so much. Okay, so I'm gonna try some of these out on you.
And they assume that it's incorrect, right?
Yeah.
Like they're saying, like you shouldn't believe this, but you do believe it.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the proposition.
Yeah. That's so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So at least that's implied. I thought.
Okay, we'll have to go through and we'll see if we agree with these things or not. Mm-hmm. Also, it's been a while since we played Woke or Toke, and so I'm gonna reintroduce you to this game. I'm going to give you the name of an organization, and you're going to tell me whether it is a church name, That's the woke part. Some sort of new agey church. We're done with the Third Baptist Church of Pacoima. Now we're in some sort of like Lazy Days Church of the Christ. So you got
woke. Massaging Word of Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. Or Toke. Is this a weed dispensary?
Yeah.
The joke in the game is that it's harder to tell the difference than you think. And so we'll get to that, and I'll stand in place for Buva, and I will give you the organization name, and you're going to tell me, is that woke or toke?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to succeed.
I do want to reiterate, in case you've come across this on the net, John Christ is doing something very similar to this game. I double-checked. We were doing it about a year before he was.
I bet he heard.
Okay. Really? What does he call it?
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't as good. Whatever it was, I'm like, meh. I mean, it's okay.
She knows we're copyrighted.
Yeah. Oh. He was also recently on The Tonight Show, so I don't know how you measure success. Like, we were first, but he doesn't suck. I don't know. You know, what are you going to do?
We're on the World Wide Web, though.
Yeah, that's true. International. That's everywhere. True, Dan. Tonight Show is like an American.
We're like that third wheel to Abbott and Costello, Fred, who wrote most of the material, but like, he just didn't fit in with the rest of the act.
He doesn't go well.
He just doesn't go.
So I'm hearing that he saw your show, liked the game.
You know, we've never been credited by anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Maybe he thought, you know, I could easily take this and absolutely no one would care or nobody would.
I could get away with this for sure.
Yeah, so we'll do woke or toke. Also, I've got, Mike, I can't remember. Do you have some Pope style?
I thought I did, and now I can't remember.
That's gone. Aww. Completely. Okay. So I'm about to, and then we'll have some advice on Dear Life and the Path.
Yeah.
All right. But first, I'm going to tell you a quick story. And I think Mike has heard this, but I'm going to share it with you guys just because, I don't know, I found it super encouraging. And so, in fact, I said it on the show, the last show we had, I think I said I was out walking the dog and then like I felt like I heard God, not like a booming God voice, but it was like just a thing that popped in my mind that was odd there and the phrase was, hey, when you're done following yourself, you can follow me. It's got like Jesus saying that. But it was very, like the tone was weird. Like it wasn't like, hey, you're not following me. It was just like, hey, you didn't realize it. It's like, hey, let me let you know. Did you know that hamburger was actually got 1,500 calories in it? Like, it was that kind of. It was like, oh, I didn't realize or something, but I didn't quite know what to do with that. Nothing jumped out at me. Like, for years, I'm like, I don't know if I'm using my time well with the amount of news that I consume, the amount of time I spend just doing all kinds of different things. I'm like, I don't know, should I be doing something with my hands or something more productive? Or there's five different things of which like I'm semi-involved with or leading that I feel like I probably could be doing a better job of at any one of them. And so anyway, I wasn't quite sure what it was, but I thought I'll just pray on it and I think it'll make it clear. But it was interesting because like I've had very, very few times in my life where it's like, I think God's saying something to me that wasn't just like it came from scripture or something like that. So anyway, I was in a few weeks went by, and then this was this week. I was in Minneapolis for work, and I was walking. It's like a 3/4 mile walk between the hotel I was at and where I needed to be. And so I'm just out getting ready to leave, and I got a text from someone at church, and they're like, "Hey, what are you praying about?" You know, and it was like 7 a.m. I'm like, okay, here, I'll tell you, like, this is what I heard God say. Cause this person was like, either I'm supposed to share, what I'm reading with you, I think, or, I'm supposed to figure out and pray along with whatever you're praying about. Like, felt like a nudging from God for this thing. I said, okay. So I shared it. And like, if you didn't hear me tell it, like if you got it over text message on the implication that I might not be following Jesus, like that seems like a very heavy, heavy thing. And that was their reaction. They're like, that seems real heavy. Like if you're not following, you're still following yourself and you're not following me. That seems really, really heavy. How can I help? Or what can I be praying on? Or what are you thinking? And I'm like, it could be heavy actually. And Jesus would have every right. Like it feels like every right to say that. And it could be like a pretty like detrimental thing to me. And so I responded back and I said like, totally. And that was my first reaction, but the tone was kind when I heard it. And then they responded back and said, I can confirm that tone, because immediately when I sent that response to me, they were like, and immediately I just got the sense that like, no, this is an invitation. There's a kindness to this. And in that moment, I'll be honest, like when I heard the thing about walking the dog, I'm like, I don't know, that could have just been something popped in my mind totally. Like things fly in my mind all the time. And then to have someone praying with me, I thought that's great. But it's that the almost immediate confirmation of the tone did two things, like right in that moment. The first one was it confirmed that what it felt like to me in the phrase at the time when I was walking the dog, someone else very clearly felt for no reason. Like, there's no reason to take that as like, oh, I bet this is a kind invitation from Jesus to stop following yourself and follow him. And then it felt like, it just felt like a big smile from God, because the phrase is overused, but like, I felt very directly seen by God, right? Because like, what a weird situation to have it all kind of hinge on something that could feel harsh, felt like it had a really kind tone in it, like an invitation from my Savior to say, you're missing something, and I want you to not miss it, and come. So stop following yourself and come follow me. And to have that kind of acting in real time with the other person, with no prompting from me, it was very specific. And it was like on a night I had stayed up too late. I was should have been gone to bed early, and I'm like watching TV. I'm like, I'm wasting my time. And there was a part of it just in my mind in the middle of the night. I'm like, I just can't get this where I like just do the thing I'm supposed to do. Like it just felt like I wasn't exerting control over different aspects of my life. And I was feeling kind of real crappy about myself, to be honest with you. And then at that moment, it just felt like whatever it was, you're still his. And yeah, you got some things, and I'm going to send someone to affirm not only that, yes, I'm paying attention, but the thing that you thought you felt, which I probably wouldn't have trusted just in general, I can trust. I thought the phrase made sense, the vibe I took from it made sense, and God communicated that same thing to somebody else. And so I share that with you as a person who, like, I would say vast majority of the time when I have interactions with God, it's from the thing that I'm attuned to, which is like it jumps out when I'm reading my Bible, or something that someone else said kind of just clicks like this. It's very rarely is it something that feels like a personal prompting or an idea, because like there's, again, I just read a lot of stuff and I just figure all the things come together at some point or another and just pops out. But this one felt very unique, and then affirmed unique and affirmed a feeling. And it was just like God, it just uniquely felt like God saying, yeah. I can count the hairs on your head. I can see what's going on in your life. I understand. Yes, you got some things to move. And I meant that, but like, he just sent a way to affirm it. And I don't know, it's just not a common experience for me. And so I thought I'd share that. It was super cool. I remember I was walking to work, and I was probably dangerously walking, because I'm just praying like all the way. I'm like, thank you. Like, you knew what I was feeling, and you, I don't know. Just even in that very small thing, thank you for validating that, like, whatever it is, I'm walking with you here. And I just needed that. That'll last me 5 years, mm-hmm. right? Just that thing. So anyway, I just sharing.
You know, often when we think like we're hearing from God or something, it tends to be like in the negative. Mm. I think it's cool that it was a positive.
Totally.
It's like, oh, you need to change this. You need to stop that. You need to pray more, whatever, you know.
Right.
And it's kind of cool that it was not that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because...
I mean, not that there aren't things, but you know.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And realistically, like if it would not have surprised me, nor would I have been upset with God if it was like, dude, just take a stock for a second. You're following you. So much of your life is oriented on what you can do, what you can deliver, what you can provide. You're not following me, and I need you to wake up. Like, I would totally get that and go, yeah, Lord, makes sense. I get the tone. Got it.
You've lost your first love, you know, for right. Seven letters of the churches, you know.
That's so right. is it funny to think that, like, if you think that, like, you were motivated that way, right? To felt like God, like, was paying attention to you, sees you personally, and like, this is his character. And like, how many times are we not presenting the gospel that way, right? Like, I was talking to somebody like just this last week, and like, it occurred to me that like, I never quite understood how this happens, how we go from like, there's usually people way on one side where it's like all God's heart stuff there. And like, and then there's a truth, like, and Jesus was always good at delivering both like heart and truth at the same time. And where like religion starts to really get its bad name is where people stop spending time with God, and they stop being in where his heart is, right? But for all the work that they put in while they were there, they remember all the rules and all what sin is. Mm-hmm. And then you basically end up with religion that has no heart in it. And that's how you get the guy with the sign, you know, out there barking at people, or you get, you know, people like trying to motivate you with Turner Burn stuff and like this really heavy-handed gospel. And the lie part about that is it's not the gospel. The gospel's not heavy-handed that way. It is all true, and it does have a very stark reality to it. That is definitely true, right? But like it's where like the word religion got such a bad connotation because it started out almost with everybody. It started out with God's heart in it and God's truth. And then when they were married together and doing work out into the world, it was beautiful. And then you stopped praying so much and you stopped spending time with them. And then you stopped like meditating on your Bible, but you remembered what the Ten Commandments were and you remember what happened to the adulterous woman and you remembered all the people that were doing bad stuff and you're like, you suck. What? And that's where, and then it ends just like with this flat, terrible version. And then to come along, like Ben's had, I don't know how many chewings out of my mouth for gospel reasons.
Yeah.
Right. And like they were effective, kind of. Or they were like, crap, he's got me. you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm dead to rights. But what feels way different than getting punished for the thing that you did is when you got mercy for the thing that you did. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what does that?
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
Yeah.
And it just feels so much different. And like, it just feels like even a simple story like that should just reinvigorate a fire that goes like, his love does matter. You don't cheapen the truth. You don't take things out of it. You don't misrepresent him. But don't act like he's not the center of the whole thing, mm-hmm. and his love is part of that.
Yeah. This been a couple times in the last few months. I wish I could think of an example, but I can't. But like where I'm reading scripture out loud, like even at church, and I'm reading it, and I'll mentally think to myself, man, I used to say that in like an angry tone.
Right.
And now I'm reading it in a different type of tone, and it sounds completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, we just inject emotion into scripture that may not be there.
Yeah.
Based on mm-hmm. what's going on in our life or whatever, you know, and I think, huh, that changed the whole feel of that verse of God's just like lifting you up, not beating you down, you know. Yep. I mean, there's rules and all the stuff like
sure.
said, but you know, he's not always shooting lightning bolts at us. So
yeah. Well, and I think some of it comes with just like the orientation of your heart. And I know I've given this example a lot recently on the show simply because we're just in 1 Samuel. And so it just keeps coming up. But like, again, Yahweh interacts with David differently than he interacts with Saul because David's posture is towards Yahweh, even in all his fallibility. And so like, even when David is at his worst, like the prophet is like, yeah, this is what happened and the consequences are these and pick one. Mm-hmm. But like the real anger that shows up is either God's own people's flippancy toward his goodness. Because like David doesn't do that. He makes bad human decisions, but he doesn't like, I'm going to go chase after Baal. I'm not satisfied with Yahweh or his provision. Like it's not that. He's just a fallible human being. And like people where your heart is oriented towards God and like you want it and then you're just living a very frail human experience. Mm-hmm. Like I think God approaches that differently than someone who is like spitting in his face and leading people away from him. Mm-hmm. Like that's where Jesus is most upset. Mm-hmm. And so I just, to your point, Dana, like sometimes I probably needed to hear it a little harsh, but like it runs the risk of the same thing that I think, unfortunately, as I look back on it, is probably also true from a parenting perspective. It becomes a short-term motivator or a short-term win that otherwise contributes incorrectly to this long-term, long-standing relationship and character that I have, say, towards my kids. Which like it's just easier to say the harsh thing and because like you're communicating what the truth is through the tone of your voice as opposed to like the guidance of your hand and the insistence upon your love and the purveyance of your wisdom type of situation. And so and here's the thing, it also helped me like it's just a moment like that. And then I think back about, you know, I just think the human mind has such a high capacity for convincing yourself something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think back to things and like, I don't know, are these things a facade? And like, was this a show? And did I hear this at this way? And just like every once in a while, when all that stuff just met in its moment, like it just helps chase doubt away, but also like calls me to something different. Like, so I'm obviously something is, mm-hmm. I am following something that I've not submitted to God and said, like, am I sure this is your way and not mine? I'm sure this is your power and not mine. I obviously have something in there, and I'm not quite sure what it is yet, but like, so like, it's not that something doesn't need to change, but I felt like so blessed for the accusation. But that's how you would feel it.
Yeah.
That's how it would be. And so, anyway, just sharing with you, because it's rare for me, but it was just so super encouraging. And it required someone else to react to that prompting. I don't get like a text message at 7 a.m. from people just going, how can I pray for you, as like a standing order.
Yeah.
Like, that's not this. The last I probably had got, it's probably been months before this person had texted me about something. And so anyway, just sharing. I hope that's encouraging to you. It was super encouraging to me. You're listening to Live from the Path. All right. Let's do this. Let's do these things. Let's do these things that you hear.
All right.
I lost them.
Donald, you got to be ready to jump in on this.
I am totally ready.
Okay. 17 Christian falsehoods people have believed because they've heard it so much. Interesting. Okay, these are going to be interesting. There's too many of them to go super slow, so we got to kind of burn our way through this thing. One, you don't deserve God's love. I don't hear that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that. I think that's just...
I think that originates inside more than it originates outside.
Yeah. At the same time, I don't say we do deserve God's love. Right. I mean, like the opposite of that. I'm like, well, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true.
Right.
I'd say it's right in the middle.
Right.
I've not heard that. Where does this come from?
Yeah, what's this coming from?
I don't know. Okay, hold on. Let's test some of these other ones. You were born a sinner, requiring forgiveness for what you are.
Okay.
No, I agree with that one.
Okay, yeah. I agree with that.
I don't.
These aren't really falsehoods.
Wait a minute, you
so
don't
far.
Agree with that.
I wasn't born a sinner. I don't have Adam's sin. I have his bent. Yeah. I made my personal sin later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We're splitting hairs. Okay, the point is, the reason it matters is to say, like, you chose sin. Right, it was a choice of yours. You weren't born scarlet black.
Yeah.
Right, but like, given human brokenness, we all get there eventually.
Because there are some major denominations that would say you are born in sin.
Yeah.
And that's why they baptize babies.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. That's true. And actually, outside of that, like, I feel like you just got babies wet. I often found, like, I was talking to somebody about it, and they were of like a Reformed tradition. They were real fired up about, hey, like, how can you deny that the original sin and like you're born with it? I'm like, what does it matter? You're gonna sin when you're like seven, five. What what are we doing?
It's gonna happen.
Like, so like whether you came out of the womb with it or whether you did it voluntarily, like everybody did,
right.
I think we got other stuff to crank on. Yeah.
That's okay. I just want to double. Like, I don't want to pounce on baby baptisms, but here's what I can't get in my head. The devil comes up with this big scheme to ruin humanity.
Yep.
And is foiled within 3 months of your birth by submitting you to a ceremony that you don't have any choice in and you're just involved with, right? Like, that people can do to you where like the actual weight of sin, it requires a surrender of your whole life to the gift and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and you have to acknowledge all of that. That seems way more worth putting a bunch of scheming into to create this sin-filled world, right? Opposed to just like, I was out fooled by a guy with a bowl again. You know what I'm saying? Like, it seems weird.
I mean, the sheer number of these things they do in, like, Italy. Like, you see all these bishops.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, dunk the baby, send it on its way. Like, just back over and over again.
Like a factory.
Yeah, it's like, it's an assembly line of baptizing babies.
Yeah. I mean, once again, I'm not from that denomination, and I'm not trying to make light of it, but I do not understand it. It doesn't make any sense with the way that the Bible has read to me. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Ben, you said we got to get moving.
Okay, number three, Jesus rescued you from God.
Yes, I believe that.
Jesus rescued you from yourself.
From the wrath of God.
Yeah, which you prepped the line.
Oh, yeah. So once again, like, it's not a nuanced enough statement.
This is an odd way to phrase it.
Yeah.
Because, well, it's hard to put because Jesus is God as well.
Yeah.
So we're getting into, like...
I mean, it's not like a super deep theological thought, but like, I think at the end of the day that like, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? And so like... Your sin has a wrath of God attached to it, mm-hmm. right? And so, like, he didn't so much save you from God's wrath because he didn't create the problem, right? Yeah. But he is offering you a way out.
Yeah, it's not like God's got you up against the wall with his hand on your throat and he's slapping you and punching you in the face. Like, he's like, I'll save you. You know,
I think that a lot of these have so far have just been in the middle. Like, they're so broad that you can't go
one way
or the other.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually a good point. Like, if you're not where you are imprecise, you risk trying to communicate the right idea in the wrong way, which then causes people to misunderstand because you're vague enough that like you could not get it right.
That's why I always assume these lists have an agenda attached.
Yeah.
So they try to get you and disarm you so then they can get their side is, whether their agenda is like, see, you know, if they're dismantling the Christianity or whatever, or whichever side they're on. But
yeah,
that's how I look at these.
They use that broad wording to like kind of confuse some people.
Yeah.
Because the people that want to take it the negative way are always going to look for the negative, I think.
I mean, wasn't that Satan's whole attack? Like, did God really say?
Yeah, right.
Oh, did he? Like, then all of a sudden they're questioning.
I mean, it's all just like, you can see Satan in everyday things, just like these, I don't know, articles. He can just see the influence.
Number four, sending people to hell satisfies God's justice and brings God glory.
I don't think that God wants anyone to go to hell. I think God loves each and every single one of us and wants all of us to accept salvation.
Yeah, I mean, James would affirm that, right? Like, that's God's desire.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if...
I think it's wrong. I think the load is to say satisfies God's like justice.
This makes me happy.
And you weren't sent to hell like you volunteered. Like, you didn't have to do that. You rejected the lifeboat.
Yeah, God made an invitation for you to be with him forever by following the ways in which his forever will work. And you said, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
He gave you what you asked for.
Yeah. It doesn't bring God glory. God has glory.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
Well, also, it acts like justice is his only attribute, right? Like he's some kind of gunslinger from the West that just busts open through the doors and starts six shooting people. You know, I'm like, I do justice.
It's like the Titanic door.
Yes.
God is on the door. He's trying to get you up on it. God is the door.
Are you talking about the floating door?
Yeah, the floating door.
Okay. Not like the door to the galley.
I wasn't following. I'm like, what are we talking about?
You got to give him a chance to bring it around.
God is the door.
God's the floating door.
You're trying to be Rose.
Okay. So let's see here. The big deal, number five. These are worded funny. The big deal about Jesus is punching your ticket to heaven. I mean, that is a big deal.
He would say so. I came to seek and save the lost.
But when you think about this correctly, you're already an eternal being, right?
Yeah.
Like, so you will be alive forever, no matter what, right? And so, like, getting into heaven, yes, but like following Jesus, more the yes, right? Like, more a lifestyle, more aligning with how the world was designed in the first place. To be what God intended it to be, both for your joy and his glory.
Yeah. Well,
however, though, you can live that life if you have had your sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus to punch your ticket to heaven. You're still not making it to heaven.
Yeah.
So you just had a good life.
Yeah.
True.
So I think I actually agree with this statement.
Like, it's all in the...
I'm the problem.
It's all the tone of how you want to read it. Like, if you want to read each of these in a, like, scornful tone, just like... Oh, you have
punch
to
your ticket.
Punch your ticket to heaven.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to read it like that, then it turns into a negative.
Yeah.
But if you want to read it in a better tone, like how Ben did, then it's a positive, as like a way to say that Jesus is the way to heaven.
Yeah.
Which is true.
So, probably the misgiving in there is as if your ticket matters, right?
Yeah.
Like, we always explain it that, like, you get into heaven because Jesus vouches for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting in on his good graces and his sacrifice. Your ticket on its own without Jesus present means zero.
Oh, yeah. The biggest twist there is, like, they misunderstand the nature of heaven. Like, I don't want to go to heaven, and I'm glad that Jesus found a way to get me there. The only reason I want to be in heaven forever is because that's where Jesus is.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like, so like, you just misunderstood it as if you like, you're to the, actually to that extent that this is where the life, the floating door is bad. Is that like, I don't want the door.
It's, I thought that was a good analogy.
It's like, so the door is the rescue, but you really just wanted to be rescued and you're great that the door is around, as opposed to, I actually just want to spend eternity with the door. Where's the door going?
thought I would get the youth with that one. That's, yeah.
The rescue boat shows up and you're like, I'm good with the door.
I'm not,
this is where I want to be.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's what gets the youth. Titanic, like, is also dating. It's not quite Ben Vereen, but it is dating itself.
Titanic is, it's only like 24 years old.
You know the exact date of which the Titanic was released?
Did it come out in 2001?
Holy cow.
Okay, the list will go on. Number 7. Dan got it. number 6. Your heart is wicked and can't be trusted.
Well, that depends. If your heart is in, if your heart is with Jesus, then your heart can be trusted.
I agree with this one.
Mike's lucky. Yep.
I feel like if your heart is with Jesus and in Jesus.
Counterpoint. I followed Jesus a good chunk of my life, and I am still highly untrustworthy.
That's a solid argument. I'm switching sides. I agree with Mike.
Even when I think that I got it figured out, I generally will plow ahead with my own heart leading the band.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden we're like, we're all drunky.
This is posture towards someone. Like, basically you're trying to say inflammatory things in a way that someone would go, what? Like, I'm not wicked. But like, I mean, by what count? you're not wicked. Like, have you done a deceitful thing? Of course you have. Like, have you chosen yourself over and not given and not been, you know, gracious and like all kinds of things. And like, maybe you wouldn't use the heavy handed word wicked at yourself, but like, you may not be like count every action you've ever taken as wicked, but you've not hate every action you've ever taken has not been righteous either by any moral standard. And so I think you're right. This is just trying to make someone like revolt against what is the core principle.
The Calvinists.
Yeah.
Who? But some things of Calvinism is actually accurate.
Yeah.
Who is the audience of this article?
Us.
Like, what's the, who put this out?
Christians.
Who's
I don't know. Things are oddly capitalized.
But like, who? What web page put this out?
I don't know. Dan got it from the
net. I just saw it on the social media. I didn't even like share it, so it didn't give credit to the person because I don't even know who you are. So I'm just going to copy and paste it so we can rip it to pieces.
Oh god.
Yeah. So far, it's not firing well.
This sounds like a BuzzFeed article.
all right, number 7. A godly woman is a submissive one. Yeah, I agree with that. In the same way that a godly man is a servant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So whatever, just tack on the rest of it. Quit trying to fire people up.
See, right, says it's false.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, that's right. They're trying to get.
I would
say
that everyone like should
Paul
be.
Paul would disagree.
Yeah. Everyone should be submissive to the Lord.
Yeah, they're trying that's to. They're trying to be. Fire up some marital disputes.
Yeah.
With that one.
trying to attack conservative Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number 8. God gives or withholds favor and blessings based upon your performance.
No. Well. Now I gotta think about it.
That's so vague, like you said. It's just so vague.
It's
like,
now I thought about it for another second, and I'm like,
even more vague is God does what He wants.
Yeah,
so there's biblical precedence for saying if you are responsible with little, if you're trusted with little, you'll be trusted with much.
Yeah.
And God says, like, I don't have to be guided by these principles all the time, but like in
he
general,
owe it to you. Yeah,
yeah, I don't owe it to you, but like my character tends to go, if this is gonna do, then I will continue to do. But on the other hand, like, I know perfectly faithful people who love Jesus, and like their life looks a little rough sometimes, and it looks like it's got a lot of mess in it. And you're like, God, why are you doing this? I'm like, I don't know.
The
like,
rain falls knows. On the just and the unjust.
That's exactly right. And so, like, He is not beholden to your quippy, you know, backhanded like motto that you're trying to put in His face.
Well, and think about even how most like in a mature Christian's life. What you think of as a blessing is different than what this is trying to get at. Yeah. I was very blessed to be rebuked by Jesus this week.
Yeah.
And I thought, thank you like very much. Yeah, I love this. And like, and the trusted with little, trusted with much, like a lot of times that's people burdens.
Yes.
Hey, you can carry 2 things. Great. I need you to carry 20. And so like, I think this plays on a belief that when we think of blessing and stuff, I'm supposed to think of it as some sort of like worldly measured nature of blessing. But like, I would generally advocate to you that the blessings of the kingdom come through the work of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so your blessing means more work of the kingdom.
Yeah, it really, and actually, I was really reminded of this over the last couple of weeks that, like, we've had some struggle in the Christian music world here recently.
Yeah.
With some rough things coming out. And, like, it's been doubling down in my mind lately that, like, just as much as humans are not capable of judgment very well, it's like we just don't do that very well. Like, I feel like this is going to sound so, like, old man cringy, but, like, like we can't do fame either. Like, we just can't do it. We can't have people looking at us and holding us in esteem in any kind of way because we just can't pull it off. We can't hold it. We can't sustain it.
We start believing it.
Yeah. You start believing it as if you're special. And here's the thing is like all the things that you wanted the rest of the world to agree to, God already thinks of you. He already thinks highly of you. He already loves you enough to sacrifice himself for you. He already knows you and sees you. And all the attention that you would ever want that says just validate, you know, that I am loved and known and seen and like built into and like worth having a savior for. And God's like, done. I think all those things. And then we try to source it from other people and it just sucks. Like people are always like, I want to be a famous whatever. And I'm like, I would run away from that as fast as you can. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't think we're built to do it well. Not one celebrity gets out alive. All of them are in mm-hmm. some part trying to hold two lives together and pretending like they're not miserable. Yeah. And it has to weigh so much.
Yeah, agreed. Mm-hmm. Number 9, even grace has a few conditions.
I mean, yeah. Yes.
You got to want it.
You got, yeah.
That's a condition.
You have to choose.
His grace is enough.
Yeah.
If you want it.
I mean,
that's right. Just
walking around the earth doesn't mean I'm forgiven.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I just don't like about these articles and like plenty of other ones I've seen. They use such vague and just inflammatory language to suit their audience. Like if this audience is heavily anti-Christian, it uses inflammatory language that's just so it's like half correct. Or it just uses such language that's like almost there.
But yeah, it sniffs like it could be true.
Mixes in some secular stuff in there too.
Uh-huh.
And it just all mixes together and that's what makes a lot of people believe that it's just a broad Christianity problem.
Yeah, I mean, and it does mean that you got to know the difference, right? Like this, we can't go around with platitudes. Because like I could see this is not you could shallowly believe this like oh yeah like it's his grace is offered with no conditions, you don't have to do anything. It's true that you can't earn it, but it's not true that you don't have to accept it. And actually, that's not even agreed upon across all Christian denominations. Again, the old baby baptizers would tell you you don't have a choice. Like, either you don't have a choice to say yes or no to it at all. But like I just I think Donald's right. Number I might pick and choose here. We don't have to go through all these. 10, if you don't attend church, you are in violation of God's way. That's a weird way to.
That is another example of just like such weird ways to phrase it to make people think.
I would say if you're not in community and in active fellowship of believers, that's true.
But
there's a lot of people who attend church who aren't in.
Yeah, there's...
totally, yep.
So
there's 100 different versions of churches, too. Like, there's the biggest of the big mega churches that aren't quite there fully.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the smallest of small house churches like
cultish.
It's cult, very cultish.
Weird.
I hear they gather around a coffee table and start singing songs. I don't know what's going on there.
Truth.
But.
Yeah. Out of obedience to God, one should stay in a damaging, destructive, or abusive relationship. Well, that's a good way to get
and up. Like it.
Jeez. Okay, nope. 12, the Bible can only mean what a church leader with a seminary degree says it means.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, we're good. Yeah, nope. 13.
They're running out, weren't they, at the end here?
Yeah, let's see. Questioning what you've been told is a lack of faith.
Wrong.
No.
It kind of depends what you've been told.
Yeah, I mean.
It's okay to objectify people of other religions because they are enemies of God. What does that even mean?
No, you should love everyone. It's what, I mean, obviously to a certain point. Like, well, hate the sin, love the sinner. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, well,
here's
the thing. They're deceived. They're deceived people of God, who God wants to otherwise come to saving faith. And that's how you should think of it.
Yeah.
In fact, you can label them your enemies if you want to, because Jesus gave you a prescription on how to deal with them. So, I mean, I use whatever language.
Like an unbeliever.
Love your enemies. There you go. Let's see, 16, mental health struggles are a sign of disobedience, sin, or lack of faith.
No.
Yeah, here's what I tell you. No, but sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I know I'm going to offend some people. Here we go.
It's not a no. It's not a never is what I'm going to tell you. It's like, and because it's primarily because we talk about things that are going on with you, like troubles of your mind with a very broad brush.
Yeah.
They can be physical. Like you ain't eating, you ain't taking it enough magnesium, pal. Mm-hmm. And it jacks with your brain. Possible. Drunkenness is like a similar example. All right. You can have just something that's not going right in there. It could be coming from your family. It could be how your biology's set up. All kinds of things. It also could be what you're exposing yourself to. Sometimes people have extensive bouts of paranoia because of the things that they are exposing themselves to. Because relationships that they've had. And sometimes those things are brought on by sin. Choices you've made that have otherwise allowed things to jack with your mind. But otherwise, through counseling, through stopping with the behaviors and that type of thing, the things that are troubling in your mind will start to diminish, okay? The risk here that this is trying to exploit is that, like, to act like it's always one of those three things is a mistake. That's wrong, but it doesn't mean that it's never one of those three things. And so that would be my caution.
Yeah, there's a root of a lot of,
yeah.
of different problems. And, like, here's the thing. If you are going to fight with the way that of what God says is good, right, there will be an instant weight to that. If God says this is good, this is what I designed the world to be, and you want to fight that with every fiber of your being, one, it's going to feel like a weight anyway because you're pushing against creation, and then two, you're going to find plenty of spiritual battles that will join you in that fight and make it even worse. Because the one thing the spiritual world loves to see is people fighting with God. And they say, look, you want some help rebelling against that? I will help you. And then it ends up in this giant turmoil of a mess. And there is way more spiritual stuff tied into some of those things, depending on how you came across it, even if it was honest, even if it was trauma you caused or trauma that was caused upon you, right? Like, all forms of not what God wants is evil. And so, like, that has all kinds of gateways and all kinds of doors that like to push their way in. And so, like, we're afraid to say that, like, some folks are causing their own trouble here.
Yeah.
Right? That's the big thing that no one wants to say. They're like, how dare you make my mental struggles, like, and push me to blame? And the point is, like, no one's trying to blame you. What we're trying to do is help you.
Yeah.
Right? Is let you see that, like, some of the choices you're making are causing you to be anxious and to be depressed and to be whatever. And like, just like Ben says, it's not a broad brush. It gets to be fine and flexible on how we come across that stuff and how we get to deal with it. But like, there's a decent majority, and I can speak this way, especially for teenagers, that like, you're earning this. Like, you're choosing on purpose to do what God told you not to be involved with and to rebel against good and right things. And yeah, that's going to weigh something. It starts to feel away.
Yeah, like I'll just give you the example that maybe ties a few of those things together. If you, let's say you're someone who is actively cheating on your spouse, and you're sneaking around and you're hoping that you don't get caught or whatever. Yes, you're going to be anxious. You're going to be anxious all the time about getting caught. You're going to stop. You start to separate from your current spouse in some way or another. You're not having the same connections. And then you're going to start feeling a way about that. And then, like, so you've got this anxiety stuff, and then whatever, let's say you get found out, and now you're depressed because you blew up your marriage, you lost both of your relationships, and you're like, I'm so bummed out, I can't believe it, like, this depression is, like, overwhelming my mind. Yeah, now, that's true, and sometimes it's hard to get out of, like, it is a mini trauma of sorts, and sometimes your brain will, like, shut a bunch of stuff down, and it's hard to shake, but the reality was, is though all those things happened because you decided to follow something that God told you not to do. And it created a space where, like, now your mind is having to accommodate for the variety and anxiousness and the hiding and the keeping away and the non-confessing and, like, no repentance. And then you brought on this situation that you cannot get yourself out of, that is bigger than you. You're depressed as crap and nothing can pull you out of it because you created such a massive crater in your own life. Is that a mental health struggle? Yes. Was it originated because of choices that you made? Yes. Does it solve the same way people who might be born with that inclination? Yeah, a lot of times it is. It's It's not like it's distinct, like just because you repented that suddenly this depression and anxiety is going to lift from you. It may not, but it would be dishonest to make it sound like everybody who's got some mental health struggles is struggling with it for the same reason, which means you should stop sinning. Like, you should stop actively choosing things that separate you, to Mike's point, from God's good design, from good positive treatment of other people, and those types of things, like a life that God designed and said was good. That can be harmful to you, and like all those things are not earned equally or come across equally. And so just be, we need to be careful.
You need to be careful.
Okay, finally, the last one was everything can be solved with a Bible verse. I would say the Jesus's provision of the Holy Spirit would give the impression that perhaps we might need
something
more nuanced than that.
Yeah.
So, all right, those were your 17. Maybe you've heard something. It was an interesting list because at times it felt like it was posturing to like, duh, or yeah, most people believe that, but you shouldn't because the Christians are evil. And so I don't know what your reaction to the list was. Give us the call or text on the Live from the Path Bob Eisenlauer complaint line, 515-517-0085. That's call or text, 515-517-0085. And just to make sure it doesn't feel like I said an untruth earlier, when we say it's the Bob Eisenlauer complaint line, we have donated that line to Bob's name. He has not neither asked for it nor does he pay for it. So yeah, that non-sponsor thing was still true. As a matter of fact, we just stolen his identity and hope to get a few more likes on the social medias.
I agree, because he's a likable dude.
Yeah.
Hey, just real quick, I do remember the Pope style advice thing that I had, but it's not a big long one. But this list kind of reminded me of it because of the way that they were presenting questions and the way that we would try to approach answering some of them. You can't, if you want to be able. There's two things, and they're kind of connected. Is if you want to have influence in other people's lives for the gospel, right? And like when I say to like for the gospel, I mean what that means is like not only like the presenting of like the gift and the surrender that Jesus put out into the world to make it possible to walk in freedom and joy and peace and all the fruits of the Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. This is what the death of Christ offered us, both plus eternity, and then like our spirits are just built to like surrender into having what the fruits of the Spirit are, to be more like Jesus as we walk through this life. And so like, these are all great things, and this is what we want to offer people, right? But the thing is if you want to have influence in other people's life, it requires a sacrifice out of you. And like, it will come in all kinds of opportunities, right? But it doesn't come without it. If you want actual influence, it almost always comes with a sacrifice. And that's either a sacrifice of your time, your talents, your money. Sometimes it will be I know a couple youth leaders that kind of taught me how to be a youth leader, and like they just don't drink ever because it's a sacrifice they're willing to make because it's not worth having the conversations and letting it be this thing that comes up. Is it okay for them to drink responsibility in God's kingdom? Sure, not a big deal. They're two people who are well over age and they have no problem getting drunk or wasting their money or any of things like that, but it required a surrender. Because it was the right thing to do for the group of kids that they were trying to reach, right? And like, I think we're all faced with things like that when you're trying to, you want to be the person that wants to be able to speak good news into other people's lives and have influence into their lives. It's going to require a sacrifice from you. So if you think that like you were just going to like walk around and like meet people on occasion and just do your own thing and then every once in a while these things were going to come up, maybe I can just advocate to you that I don't think it's true. I think it's going to require a sacrifice, for sure. And the second thing is that you can't offer people something you don't have. So like when you are trying to extol the virtues of following Jesus, right? And that it is, I was just thinking about this because I was talking to somebody and I was having like an overall not peaceful week. I did not have the fruits of the Spirit as I went through them in my head and I thought, boy, I just don't feel like I got any of these. Like, and that doesn't mean that I am disqualified from talking about how great God is, because he's great whether I'm feeling it that particular day or not. But I know how I got there. Like, I was separated from him. I hadn't been spending time with him. I had not been reading my Bible. And like, I wasn't like weeks out, but I was days. And it's funny enough, the world can take a hold of you pretty fast. And so like, there's sometimes where like, I don't have to be feeling all of the fruits of the Spirit or peace or joy in that particular minute to be able to tell somebody how great that is. But if it's not a presence in my life, I'm not the right guy to be having that conversation. I don't think you can extol like the virtues of following Jesus if you're not actually following Jesus. I guess maybe is the broader point. You can't lead somebody to something that you don't personally have.
People smell that.
If you have known Jesus for 10 years and you don't feel like you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness in your life at all over the last 10 years and it's still an uproarious mess, I want to submit to you, I don't know that you're actually following Jesus. And you might want to reconsider trying to tell everybody about it. You know what I'm saying? So I think it requires sacrifice on your end for the thing that you want to get done. And you can't give people something you don't have. So if you don't have any plans on actually following Jesus the way that Jesus lays out to do it, which is people, run to the Father. People, run to the Father. Yeah. That's not the pattern you're establishing. You should probably stay out of it.
Yeah. I think that's part of the danger of the modern church is we have manufactured the feel, you know, in a worship service. So if we got the cool lights and we have the LED screens and we have the fog, whatever, and the song in the right chord key, and there you get this tingly feeling, oh, I must be doing right. And they're led off. This isn't always the case. Sometimes they're led by people we hear in the news, you know, of just living this completely unbiblical lifestyle. Well, they can't share what they don't know, but they know the science behind it.
Yeah,
they know how to sell the feel. And that has led a lot of people astray at least into emptiness.
Yeah. I think into emptiness, right? Yeah. Or to think that the promises of God aren't any good.
Yeah.
Because no one said, hey, there are going to be tough days. And like this thing that's got a hold of you, I listen to Christian worship all the time, right? And they'll give me the live cuts where the guy would decide he's going to prophesy in the middle of the song. And he's like, I feel like your lost brother is coming home. I can feel it. God is telling me. And that person who was wayward is going to call you today. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Stop that, man. Yeah. Don't be telling people that crap. Yeah. That's horribly misleading.
Oh, man. I had a guy. I'm on the LinkedIn. And there's this dude. Maybe we talked about this. Who's got a social media platform just for Christians called Axe Social. Did we talk about this?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Seems familiar. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I get this Facebook message from him. And it's like, hey, it's because there's a pastor thing in my job description. Anyway, he's like, the Holy Spirit is calling the courageous. Click here for more information about Axe Social. And I'm like, I message back. I'm like, hey, I reject your co-option of the Holy Spirit to try to get people to join your social media platform. Like, and what a turd thing to do. What a weird thing to like go. Like, if you're saying the Holy Spirit is calling the courageous and you're going to go talk to Brother Yun or something about his situation in China, he's dead. But like, you know, whatever, you're going to say this stuff. And then he's like, this is what you mean? Like when if he's trying to use this call for the Holy Spirit moving in my life so I can do what? Hold a Christians only conversation on the net? I was mad.
Yeah.
What is this? This
It's like a Christian Twitter.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's like that. And his description was like, here's the thing. I watched a video with a guy because before I message him back, I'm like, I better listen to him, make sure I'm not just getting all fired up. And his description was like, I had God spoke to me. This is why I hate to get cautious about telling that I was walking the dog story because I'm in the same bucket as this guy.
Yeah.
He's like, God spoke to me and he said, you got to give my people a place to have the conversations because big tech doesn't let them have conversations. I'm like, I say all the things I want to. I've never been. Nah. I mean, it happens. I'm sure. But like, I just, you know, they run our program. We say whatever we want. And and he's like, and then he goes, there's something video. He's like, we're gonna take it back. I'm like, you did not have it to begin with, sir. Like it was, and so I just the whole thing made me mad.
So is this a paid social media or
no?
Okay.
No, I don't care.
Yeah.
For a million reasons, I don't care, except for it felt like he was trying to manipulate me.
Yeah.
Like, I have to be courageous to join a Christians-only social media platform. It feels like it takes a lot more courage to stand on your convictions in the public square.
Or in your everyday life talking to regular people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And then, like, I also, it just was real ballsy to go, the Holy Spirit is calling people. And then, like, he to say that particular thing was for me. Because, like, if it's not scriptural, whatever the Holy Spirit might be saying to everybody, it's like saying to somebody, which I think the Holy Spirit does, it's how broad that audience is that starts to make me super nervous. Scripture for everybody, Holy Spirit movement in individual lives and probably communities, but like Holy Spirit talking to one guy who thinks he then has to influence millions of people, that I start to find suspicious. That it's more about the guy than it is likely about the Holy Spirit. And so,
agreed.
Anyway, that guy made me, I didn't care for that.
No.
I didn't care for that at all. All right. Hey, if you're playing the home game, just know that Life from the Path needs a lead in for this Woke or Tote game. All right. So if you want to put together I don't want to polish it up. I don't have time for this stuff. I was going to have the AI do it. So in 2 weeks, if you've submitted me like a theme song for Woke or Tote and it's not awful, I'll use it. Otherwise, I'm going to have to default to the AI. Okay.
Michael, can we make a little jingle?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get in the garage.
You got 2 weeks.
We'll get 2 weeks?
All right. We'll get one worked up.
Okay. All right. Anyway, you've stumbled on America's second fastest internet game show, Woke or Tote.
Okay.
And I have modified the design of the game to make this seem even more like Secular versus Solomon. So I'm going to give you a name of an organization, and you're going to tell me whether it is woke, which means it's a probably like a more liberal church name, modern hip type of situation, mm-hmm. or whether it's Toke, it's a weed dispensary.
Got it.
Whichever answer you give me, I want to know the state. Where is this organization based out of?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. I got it.
All right. You ready?
I'm
not very good at geography.
Dan keeps score on this one.
Okay.
Dan's the scorekeeper.
Oh, man. There's a lot of pressure.
It's like, I pastor, I don't do math for 30 years.
Pull up your notes app.
Okay. Here we go. Number one, Woke or Toke, starting with Mike, Living Harvest. Living Harvest, Woke or Toke?
Oh, that's got to be a woke, for sure. Woke church.
Woke church in located where?
Utah.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Donald, Living Harvest, Woke or Toke?
I'm going to give that woke.
Okay, you think it's church too?
I'm going to say that is in Pennsylvania.
Ooh, PA. Dan, Woke or Toke?
What's the name again? Living Harvest?
Living Harvest.
Living Harvest. Okay, this is a toke. It's in a farm in Walla Walla, Washington. Those are earthworms, so they're actually living.
Okay.
As always, Dan has found a way to pervert even another game.
We got a whole story.
And just give a state.
It's not a weed dispensary. It's an earthworm farm.
Earthworm farms.
Okay. Before I give you the answer, I'm going to give you a number two.
Okay.
The number two is Harvest Living. The first one was Living Harvest. The second one is Harvest Living.
That's
And one is a woke, one is a toke.
I'm going to say the second one's toke.
Okay, you're in for toke on the second one.
I am in for toke.
In what location?
In what location? I'd say that is a Louisiana right there.
Okay, Donald doesn't keep it up where weed is legal.
Wait, where's weed legal again? Where's weed legal again?
No, this is a good thing. It's not an insult. You should be like, yes, I don't do that.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure where weed is legal.
Yeah.
All right, it's in Missouri.
No, Louisiana. You're baked in. Dan Hudson.
Baked.
Harvest
not on
Living.
The show.
We're gonna call this. This one is woke, and it's probably in. I had it, and then it just left me. I'm gonna. It's Oregon.
Okay. Oh. Dan says he's in for Oregon. Mike. Woke or Toke. Harvest Living.
Okay. I'm gonna flip flop my answers.
Okay.
Whoa. I'm gonna say Living Harvest is the toke. And Harvest Living is the woke.
That's not a flip-flop. You had said Living Harvest. Oh, yeah, okay. That is the flip-flop. Yeah. Okay.
All right, and where do you think it is?
The Harvest Living is Ohio, for sure.
Ohio? Is weed legal in Ohio?
Yeah.
Everything's legal in
Ohio.
Do
you have like a list or something?
You're not on the newsletter?
You guys get a list and I didn't like... Michael, were you supposed to text this to me?
Okay, here we go. Living Harvest. Living Harvest is woke in Centennial, Colorado.
Yes. Double.
No, Mike, you switched it.
You flopped.
I got that right.
You flopped. Okay. Which means Harvest Living is a weed shop.
Where?
In Eugene, Oregon.
Wow.
Dan,
you guessed Walla Walla, Washington.
Dan, didn't you
The Holy
guess,
Spirit told me Oregon was in one of there somewhere.
Didn't you guess woke for Oregon?
Let's not get to details.
Okay. So, here we go.
Two for two.
Here we go. River Valley, Dan.
That's a woke.
Woke church. Mike.
Same, woke church.
Donald.
That's woke.
Okay. River Valley. I would have accepted either answer. There's River Valley Church in Little Rock, Arkansas, and River Valley a weed dispensary in Riverside, California.
Dang it.
There we go.
Oh,
either one was available.
This one a campus?
You know, it didn't say. All right, here we go. Next, Hopewell, woke or toke, Dan?
Hopewell. That sounds just sounds wokey church.
Okay, Dan's in for woke church. Mike?
Hopewell. Okay, I'm going woke as well. Woke church.
That sounds like someone was smoking when they made the name, so I think I'm going to go toke.
Donald says three puffs in on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody want to venture a state?
California?
I'm in California as well.
Okay.
I'm going to go in Idaho.
What do you think of that guess, Donald? Idaho. Yeah,
that's interesting.
How do you feel about that?
How come no one picks it? No people no, smoke who, weed on the East Coast?
who remembers Idaho as a state? I mean,
they got great potatoes.
I'm changing mine to Rhode Island.
Okay, very good.
Rhode Island?
That's what I wanted. Yeah. Someone with some gusto. All right. Hopewell is a weed shop in Salem, Oregon.
Come on.
So.
Hey, there's a pattern to these weed shops, boys.
I'm recognizing it.
Okay, here we go. Woke or toke? Let's see here. Hopewell Center.
What?
That's a woke church.
Okay, you're in for church?
Because they added the word center.
Yes,
you're like, that's
center,
it.
That's an activities place. That's where people gather.
It's where the people come.
You know what? Build it and they will come.
Yeah, yeah. Puff, puff, pass the plate.
Yes.
Toke, Oregon.
Dan.
Yeah, that sounds tokey.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hopewell Center, Church, Baltimore, Maryland.
Come on.
Guys, is it good or bad that I'm getting these?
Yeah, it's bad, Donald.
There we go.
Shoot.
You're all a rough customer.
I know all of the weed names.
Okay, here we go. Woke or toke, New Life Collective.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to guess that's a woke church.
New Life. Donald's in with the woke church from what state?
What state? Oh, what was it again?
New Life Collective.
Oh, that's got to be East Coast. I'm going to guess that is in Delaware.
Okay.
What's a collective anyway? Is it just a fancy way of saying we're people?
Yes.
We're a group of people?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you pass English?
Dan.
I don't use the word collective.
Woke or toke, New Life Collective.
Okay, I'm going to call that woke, and they're a hootie-tootie, so we'll call that in, what would be a hootie-tootie place? Maine.
A lot of hoots and toots going on. They're not persuaded by the toke available in Delaware.
No.
Mike, New Life Collective.
New Life Collective is a weed dispensary in New Mexico.
So close.
We have two,
yet
we have
so
two,
far.
We have two wokes and a toke.
New Life Collective is a toke. That's a weed shop in just shy of Walla Walla in Seattle, Washington.
First one I've gotten wrong.
Holy cow. All these are on the West Coast.
Cow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pacific Rim.
That's a tricky wick here. Here we go. I lost one. Let's try another collective. City Light Collective.
Oh, man.
Is it light?
Is it light like light or like light?
L-I-T-E.
Helpful question, Donald.
No, but like, is it light like you're going to light up a, what do they call them?
There's not a picture of a doobie associated with the words, if that's what you mean.
How's the word?
The emoji?
How's the word light spelled?
Is the word smoking a joint? Because if it is, that's L-I-
does it smell like a skunk?
L-I-G-H-T, City Light.
Okay, that's a woke.
City Light Collective. Donald's in for woke.
That's a woke in, I'm going to say Montana.
In Montana.
The metropolis of Montana.
Hey, there were a lot of weed dispensaries in Montana. I drove through Montana not 2 weeks ago, and surprisingly, there were three espresso shops for every small town with 600 people. They didn't say coffee. They were like espresso hub.
Espresso.
And there was a weed dispensary in like half of those towns.
Yeah.
All right. City Light Collective. Dan.
Okay. It's toke. And it is right outside the border of Colorado in Nebraska because they just couldn't really tell where the boundary was.
The Nebraska State Patrol just don't go that far. So you can do whatever you want on the edge of Nebraska.
I'm saying they did it by error. They thought they were Colorado, but it's actually in Nebraska.
Don't sully the good name of Nebraska, okay?
That's a false. No, Nebraska does not have a good name. Rejected. Mike, City Light Collective.
I'm definitely saying woke, and I'm saying Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
L.A., City Light. Does it help if City Light is scrunched together? There is no space.
Yeah, that's definitely a church.
Okay, you're in for a church. Okay, Too Hip to Be Square. City Light Collective is a weed shop in Boston, Massachusetts.
Ah,
oh, thank you. Come on.
Boston, Massachusetts.
I'm on a losing streak now.
Yep. Okay, here we go. Grace Gardens.
Oh, man.
Grace Gardens, Donald. Gardens.
You know what? I've been wrong on all the other ones. I'm going to go Toke.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that has got to be in... Hey, can somebody send me the list? What states weed is legal?
You're going to have to Google it later.
Missouri.
But not on a monitored phone.
Missouri.
Okay. All right. Missouri. Dan, Grace Gardens.
I'm going to say woke. And I'm feeling Minnesota.
Okay. There's weed in Minnesota. I got that, Mike.
I'm going to go Toke, and I'm going to say New Orleans.
Also, again, Mike needs the list. Louisiana. Well, I mean, it doesn't have to. It's got to be legal if you got to have a shop, Mike.
It's legal in Louisiana.
Okay.
Wait, so you're telling me you yelled at me for no reason, Ben?
No, I stick by it. You had to come on one way or the other. It'll come back around. Okay. Grace Gardens, Woke or Toke. That is a weed dispensary.
Yes.
In Olympia, Washington.
Man, they're all in Washington.
Again, boys, I'm just saying, like, watch the themes.
We get together in a collective and come up with these names.
Donald's cheating.
Okay.
He's Googling. The list.
Let's see. Two more. I think two more. I gave you City Light Collective before. Let's just try City Light. Also, still no space.
That's a church.
Donald's in for a church. Hey, Donald looks confident, but he's also watching himself on the monitor, like very self-satisfied. That's a church, and you, sir, look good saying it.
Stop looking at it, Donald.
I'm looking at you, Michael. I'm not even looking at myself.
Okay, Donald said it's a woke. I'm going to go with a toke, and I'm going Oregon.
Oregon. City Light. Oregon. Dan.
That is a woke in Michigan.
Ooh. The troubles are heading north. City Light, no space, is a church in Nashville, Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Nashville.
Dang it. This is difficult.
Okay, last one. Well, maybe a couple more. Metropolitan.
Mike, stop looking up the list.
I'm not. I'm getting our dear life from the past ready.
Hey, man, we're trying to keep a veil here. Donald? All right. Well, let's skip that one. Here we go. A cornerstone. Cornerstone.
Is it a cornerstone?
Nope, just cornerstone.
That's a church.
Church.
I'm going to say that's a church in Utah.
Okay, Utah church. Dan?
That is a Oklahoma woke church.
Woke church.
Trying
Oklahoma.
To be hip.
Uh-huh.
You know what? I'm going to borrow on that. I think it's a weed shop in Oklahoma.
Oh, they turned it right around in the Bible Belt. Cornerstone, weed shop, Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Also, church in every city you've ever been in.
I thought that was pretty safe.
Dan does the points. I don't know if everybody gets points or not. All right. Finally, let's see how you do. Real curveball. Fellowship Farms.
That is a weed shop.
Oh, Donald thinks the obvious. Fellowship Farms. What location? It's a state we have not dealt with yet.
Oh, really? I'm gonna guess Wyoming.
British Columbia is a terrible guess. Dan.
I didn't guess British Columbia.
I know. I was just saying in general is a terrible. Don't be so defensive. I was just suggesting that British Columbia is a terrible guess.
Have you said New Jersey? I'll say New Jersey.
Okay. Yeah, like, Fellowship Farms is woke or toke?
We're going to go toke. Toke.
Toke. Toke. All right. All right. Everyone's hanging with the obvious, Mike.
I'm going with woke.
Yep.
And come on, Kentucky.
Let's just say he's neighbors with Mr. Driscoll.
Ah, Oregon?
No, he's down in Arizona.
Oh, Arizona. He's moved.
All right, Fellowship Farms. Yes, this is a weed shop. Tempe, Arizona.
Oh, man.
Tempe, Arizona. All right, hey, you've just participated in America's second fastest growing internet game show, stolen from us, perpetuated upon the world with more popular people, but still back in our realm, molded to sound like Secular versus Solomon. That's what happens when I run the game show. And so anyway, tell me, let us know in the chat how you did, either on the YouTube or hit us up on the Live from the Path. Bob Eisenlauer, smoke them if you got them. Complaint line, 515-517-0085. Call or text. Mike, let's give out some advice.
Dear, Live from the Path. We have been friends with a couple for many, many years. Unfortunately, someone took some items out of their house. Our long friendship is now over because they think we stole from them.
Mm-hmm.
Although they have gotten over it, we cannot. They say it's in the past and it's time to move on. They can't understand that we feel so insulted that we no longer want to remain friends with them. They never offered an apology, which makes us feel like they still doubt us. Are we oversensitive?
Hmm. I guess I want to know how that conversation went. Was it an accusation or a question? Hey, did you take the shoelaces out of my drawer?
Yeah, I wish they would have put this on a scale to, like, did they take, like, a TV and $1,000 from the safe?
Exactly.
Or, like, your favorite pin?
Boy, that's tricky. Because it's ongoing, like, it would, and it doesn't, you don't get the resolution of having them say, well, yeah, I think you have to forgive it. But that may be a different question than how easy is it to be friends with these folks going forward?
It sounds like they haven't come to a resolution on who stole it. So they're like, look, so the one couple is like, look, we know you stole it. We forgave you. Let's put it in the past. And this other couple's like, we didn't steal anything. And you still think that we did, no matter what we say.
Something like if Mike said, hey, Dan, did you take that hammer from my truck?
Yeah.
I'd be like, well, I didn't. I wouldn't be offended. I think you're just trying to figure out where the hammer is.
Yeah.
But if you came in and said, I know you took that hammer.
Yeah.
Because I see you've been pounding on nails. I'd be like, well, then it'd be a little more offensive. It's like, well, I did not take your hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I follow the story, then Dan, he let's just say he lays on it 3 or 4 times. Look, Dan, I know you took the hammer, but I forgive you. Let's just move on from it.
Yeah.
I think that would still be hard to get over.
That'd be more hurtful for sure. It'd be like, you don't trust me.
Yeah.
After I told you I did not steal it.
Yeah.
Or borrow it.
Yeah, that's tricky.
That's a character thing.
I think this is done. I think your friendship is done. If they can't. They don't believe you.
Yeah.
That you didn't steal the thing. And they're still, let's say they thought you did steal it and they just want to get friendships back to normal. I think they lost it, figured out that they lost it, and then are too cowardly to take back their theft accusation.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So either to Dan's point, they don't trust you and you don't really want to be in a close relationship where someone just simply doesn't trust you, or they're cowardly. And they're not good friends, just in general, because they've made mistakes and they won't own up to them.
Yeah. Donald?
Good. What else?
It's interesting. Because obviously you shouldn't hate them, right? You shouldn't hate anybody.
Or murder their cats.
I mean, we're talking about, we're on friendship level. Can you still be friends with them if they don't trust you? They thought you stole from them.
I think that I would not hate them, but I would not be friends with them either.
So if I said, but basically I'm saying, look, Donald, I know you took that $25 out of my car, but it's fine. It's not a big deal, right? We can still be friends. And you didn't actually take the $25. I still think that you're a thief, but I'm willing to let it go and now be buddies. And you're going to what? Do you defend your honor? You'd be like, I didn't steal the $25.
I think that if it's over a long period of time, like... this person seems to indicate, if it's over a long period of time and you're saying over and over again, hey, I didn't steal this, and they still won't believe you, then...
time to cut it.
It's time to cut it, but, like, don't be mad at them for, like, their...
for accusing me of theft?
Don't be mad at them. Well, you can be mad, just don't hate them.
I mean, I don't hate them, but I don't want to be their friend.
Yeah, yeah. Donald's in the I don't hate them, but I wouldn't date them category.
Yes. Said I. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with that. I think it would be. I do think you have to kind of let it go, because otherwise, that will never find resolution, and it might turn you into a bit of a bitter person and a difficult
that's
friend.
Not worth, yeah,
yeah. So like you are gonna have to get over it and forgive them in the spirit that they appear to be forgiving you, but you are gonna have to. I think it does make sense to separate until such time as they reconcile, because like it would be to say, look, I still. I'm sorry I accused you. Even if you still believed it, you go, like, everything in my bones feels like you took it. But, like, if you're telling me that you're not, then I believe you. Like, that, you can build something on that foundation. You cannot build on, I think, and I just forgive. Because there's nothing to rebuild.
Yeah. Or anything to forgive.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. The question was, Are we oversensitive? Secular says, no, you are not. In light of the fact that you never received an apology for the wrongful accusation, it makes sense that you not put yourselves in the position of being accused again. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's too bad that this friendship has to end, but like, I can't think of any friends, long-term friends that I've had that would accuse me of stealing. And like one, if I had stolen, I'd probably just admit it because they're friends. You'd be like, yeah, I took it. You know, like the whole thing seems like it's got some more layers to it than just because like they didn't list what was stolen or the dollar value or like if it was a family heir. Like it's weird to be so vague about something. Like it sounds like it's like your Zippo lighter that your granddaddy got you. Hmm. That probably is worth $15 but meant a lot to you or something, you know, and like they're just making this huge thing out of it. I think they lost it.
So it's interesting because this is a route that Secular tends to go down and did not this time that I might suggest, which is that is kind of a sign of dementia when you start stuff starts missing.
True.
And you believe someone else has stolen it from you and like you've misplaced it or haven't had it for 50 years and just don't remember or whatever. And it's oddly common. To think that someone has stolen your stuff and to be super defensive about it. And so I don't know, like if it was that, like let's say these folks were 75 or something like that, and it might be that, there you might go along to get along because it's actually not personal. It's just it's a break and will not resolve probably. It'll be fine for a while and then it'll just keep pumping back in. It's just the nature of something going on. So like that would be my only caveat. Sniff test that, and if it feels like it's that, like you don't take unreasonable actions in reaction to unreasonable people. Mm-hmm. Like it's the motivation is different in that situation. But other than that, I think that's right.
Mm. Okay, ready? Last one.
Okay.
Dear Life from the Past, my husband works out of state for an oil rigging company 20 days out of the month. He gets 10 days off. When he comes home, we may have 2 days of quality time together. The rest of his time he spends on his phone outside.
What?
When I recently had spinal surgery, he came home supposedly to assist me. My doctor gave him instructions to follow after the surgery. The first was that he observed me for 24 hours to avert any complications. Well, after a few hours, he left me alone so he could go be with his friends. I was sleeping when he left, and when I woke up, I was in pain. When I called him and asked where he was, he, as usual, got upset and said, I can't spend time with my friends? And I replied, no problem, and hung up the phone. He returned 2 hours later and we discussed it, but he left the house again. I don't know how to communicate with him without causing issues. What should I do? Am I wrong?
I mean, you have an issue.
Yeah.
You didn't cause, like, you have one.
Yeah.
It's a pretty substantive one.
Yeah, you're bringing up the fact of an issue doesn't mean the issue did or did not exist. You're just pointing at it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you already have a problem.
Yeah, so
spinal surgery.
That's pretty intense.
That's intense.
So I think this is a hard, that's a hard, ignore even the, take the spinal surgery out of it. This is a hard relationship dynamic. Yeah. Someone's going to be gone for 20 days.
Mm-hmm.
And like realistically, just think of the life on an oil rig. It's just whatever rudimentary way that you might think about it. To come home, like it feels like that's not a mini vacation, but like you come to this house and like you're not just going to take up to the rhythms of this house that functions without you 20 days out of the month. And so, and add that on to, it's not your wife. That's not the only thing you're away from. You're away from other patterns that are going on there, friends and like other family to visit or whatever. And this guy doesn't seem like the relationship is mature in such a way that like, even when he's home, like he's outside on his phone. If you're working an oil rig for 20 days away from your family, it feels like you got a decent amount of phone time. Like, you don't need to be doing that kind of stuff at home. So, like, you've got just some core things with your marriage that I think are probably not, either you're not describing well or are not healthy, of which the spinal thing is, like, a exaggerated version of it. But, like, you have this problem already, even without that thing happening.
I'm going to tell you something about, like, people who work out of town for a living. Like, it's a really tough dynamic. And I used to notice this when I used to do it. Is two things would be true when I got home. One, I spent, you know, a week or two out traveling with a bunch of dudes and not my wife. So by the time I got home, I was very quick-witted, sharp-tongued. I had no grace in anything I said, and everything was for constant fodder of being made fun of, right? Because I just spent the last 15 days out with a bunch of dudes, And so, like, everything is making fun of people all the time, being overly harsh on them, and finding ways to bring them down.
Yep.
Right? That's what it looked like. And so I get home, and I'm like, I'm talking to my wife in really unhealthy ways, you know? And then, two, like, you do have to you walk into a realization that the place runs without you. Right? Like, whatever place was there, whatever thing that you used to define your role in there, you took the garbage out, you fixed the cars, whatever your dynamic is at your place, all of it had got filled in while you were gone. Somebody did it, right? And it was probably your wife. And so then, like, it doesn't quite feel like the home it was when you were there consistently, you know? And so, like, the thing is like, if you're going to marry a guy that has this work, know that that is true. And you got to have a little bit of grace for him moving back and forth. Two, if you're a man that does not have to do this, don't do it. It's not worth it. It, like, the things that you have to trade off to travel all the time like that, you lose, like, most of your place in the house. And not because you're a jerk, and not because you're a bad man, but you're simply not there.
Right. Like, it feels, if you think of, like, the old Maslow's hierarchy of needs, what it feels like is you're going to do this thing to care for my family, and I can give them a house, and I can give them, you know, pay for the food and all that stuff. But, like, it's a very hard thing to come to the realization of, but, like, get the smaller house, take the closer job.
Yes.
They need you more than they need your money.
They do.
They do need your money, for sure. But, like, it is something that, like, makes sense, and bless you for being willing to do that. It's a sacrifice. But, like, it ends up almost in some ways often sacrificing the thing that you would actually choose not to sacrifice if you really thought about it. And I know that's not everybody's situation. And so let that be the nuance in your own life. But just, like, you know, if you had to take 200 square feet off your situation so that you were working within an hour of your place, do that.
Yeah. But even look at, like, even our social welfare systems and our government welfare systems. Like, look at the things that we can provide. We can provide food pantry meals, and we can provide food stamps, and we can provide government housing. What we can't replace is dads. And, like, we have a systemic problem of dads not being dads, right? Not being there for the bath times, right? Like, I used to talk to guys I traveled with, right? And, like, what it boils down to is you can say, I was there for the graduation party, I was there for the big little league tournament, but what you missed was the bath and the putting away the toys and the storybook at night. And the tough day that they had, that you get to talk to them, you know, right when you got home from work or something. Like, it adds up to something. The little things add up to a lot of things. And, like, I hear Ben correctly, like, I did this, right? And, like, I wouldn't say that I completely regret it, because it was necessary at the time, but it was not necessary as I thought. I should have done something. I wish I would have done something different, but that is not what I did, because I missed out on so many little things. And, yeah, my wife and my kids had a house and they were eating, but, like, we can have an apartment and eat and have a car that is effy reliable. And if I'm in that equation, doesn't matter. That's what we were going for. Yeah. So, like, I say all that because I think the dude's still a turd, right? But maybe I'm just trying to say that, like, could I see where this dude comes home and is like, I got no space here. I have no identity in this house. I'm out of here more than I'm here. And so finding out what my role as a husband is, or a caretaker is, or a neighbor is, like, people are having block parties and I'm never here, right? People are going to 4th of July together and having picnics and I'm not here.
Yeah, you know, and that's a really, really, even outside of your family dynamic, just, like, as an individual person, like, think of what it means, the difficulties it introduces into your life, to know that all of the key situations that you're involved in run without you. When you leave that oil rig after 20 days, somebody else is still running shifts. They didn't shut down the oil rig. It will run without you. Just know when after you're with your family for 10 days and you go somewhere else, that also runs without you.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that you're not needed, but that you're totally replaceable was what it feels like in those situations. And that'll mess with your mind, because without the accountability of going, like, this situation is not just dependent upon my output, but it's dependent upon my character. It's dependent upon my presence, and that cannot be done the same way without me there. Like, it just holds your, it brings a balance to your life that is difficult to maintain without that. And I actually think that's why, like, you see a lot of over the road trucker. Like, there's a lot of there's a high Christianity in like people who drive trucks, because like there has to be some kind of grounding for the variance that goes on in life around you. And I think you see the same thing with some other jobs that are kind of like that. And so I have a sympathy for it, because I think that would be, I'm kept in line a lot of times by the fences that naturally exist in the rhythms of my life. I think it would be very difficult to kind of keep that. Without that, you got to be even more stringent.
Yes. Now, back to her original question.
Yes.
Her question was, I don't know how to communicate with him without causing issues. What should I do? Am I wrong? No, you are not wrong. Yeah, he should be communicating with you. And obviously, like I said, I'm not excusing his behavior. Maybe we're just speaking into it on how it got to be that. Yep. But that is no excuse for the way that he's treating you. It doesn't sound like you have any kids. And so I'm glad that like the kids aren't having to suffer through this too. Like, you're an adult. You can put a couple thoughts together and go, well, this might be, you know, a little bit of the ways. But like, you're also not helping anything by not bringing it up. Right? Like, he's obviously in the wrong. And if you're afraid to bring up something so obvious, I can't imagine what you're also burying that is not as obvious.
Yeah. This is of the extent that I would actually say I would think about some marriage counseling here. Because or just an arbitrary third party that's not like his friend or your friend. Like, you need someone who can help. Because like sometimes his behavior is so like...
ridiculous.
Egregious. Right. That like it feels like it's likely he's just written her off, that like this just isn't true. You're overreacting. You're over emotional, blah, 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 like that. And like sometimes you do need a third party that can like bring a reckoning to someone's view of the world and go, listen, man, like she believes you're acting ridiculous. You believe she's thinking crazy. You need somebody who can kind of render that world correctly, that like, no, that's not crazy. It's not what you're used to, but it's not crazy. It's not wild for her to feel this type of thing. Because like you just get caught up in your own thing. And then he probably goes and complains to his wife on the rig with 200 other dudes who are having the exact same problem at their house because they're following the same pattern of life.
Yep.
And so like it's easy for that guy to get baked into that his wife is overreacting, and he's got the sympathy of other people who are going about it. And so like just someone who could go, look, that's not normal, dude.
Yeah.
And so I'd find a dude marriage counselor is what I would do.
Yeah, I agree. Dan?
I think y'all covered it pretty well. I don't know. I mean, there's definitely a struggle there, and they need to be proactive. You know, don't just keep letting it happen. You know, continue the relationship as they have it. So, yeah, definitely. I like the counselor idea for sure.
Yeah. Final word, Donald?
I don't have a ton of experience with this.
Fair. So, you are not an oil worker, you're not currently married.
You should not be the counselor.
Yeah.
You're not the third party.
You guys are, you're old.
So. Okay, here we go. Secular says, you are not wrong. What you need to do is take some time and evaluate the relationship you have with your husband. From what you have written, you are both spending the majority of your time living as single people. Your husband is clearly not the nurturing type, and it would be interesting to know how he'd react if the situation were reversed and you had skipped out to socialize with your buddies. I won't use that word that comes to mind to describe your better half, but frankly, I think you could have done better in the spouse department. You have my sympathy.
Yeah, I would be... The caution I would have is that like she's not also laid out her fallibilities. I don't know whether she's a good wife. Maybe he gets home from being gone 20 days, feels like he worked hard, and then she harps on him all the mm-hmm. time, and his home life sucks. Like, I'm not going to presume that his behavior, although wrong, hasn't been otherwise earned and contributed to in some way by the reaction of his wife. I just don't know that.
Yeah.
And so I would be, I would not go as far as she did, I think I'd stick with what we said.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, hey, you've been listening to Life from the Path. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We very much appreciate it. Big thanks to old Donald coming in and lending his thoughts to Life from the Path. And so hopefully we'll see him around again in the future. As for us, I think we're going to be it's going to be an interesting few weeks. I think we'll be in maybe more often than not. We might even be able to check in with old Boova.
Yeah.
We'll see what's going on. I know you guys miss him. I do like to see old Boova here in the studio with us. And so hopefully in a few weeks when stuff calms down for him, we might be able to get him in. And God's got some just cool stuff going on in his life, and it'd be cool to hear from him. So in the meantime, be faithful in the means. God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Path.
Sorry we ruined it, everybody.